Hey everyone, thank you for coming to this event brought to us by the GASP Club here at Moraine Valley Community College. This event is part of the library's One Book, One College program. This year the book is Giovanni's Room by James Baldwin, and the library has asked the GASP Student Club to come in and talk about some of their experiences. GASP is Gender and Sexuality Progress. We have a panel of six students here. I'll ask that they introduce themselves and then they can just take over with the presentation. Thank you everyone for coming.
I'm Jess Stewart.
I'm David Lyons.
I'm Nicholas Samoski.
I'm Amanda Lannis.
I'm Maura Brogan.
And I'm Amanda Blount.
And let us begin. We're going to first start out with our coming out stories. Then we have a video. And then we're talking about the struggles of LGBT people, followed by how Moraine Valley helps LGBT students, and then what else Moraine Valley can do to help. I'll start with coming out. My coming out story isn't as big as other people. I had an accepting family. It was terrifying though, because no matter if you know your family's gonna accept you or not, it's still a terrifying experience. I was in my freshman year of high school when I came out to my mother. I was shaking, I remember that. I was terrified and I was stuttering the entire time. But I think she kind of assumed when I first started talking, because I guess she assumed that I was gay, since I was like in kindergarten when I asked why my sister had sparkly clothes and I didn't. Yes. I came out to other people later on. I started coming out to my friends a year or two later, and my father, I came out to him the end of junior year, and he was very hurt about this because I told everyone first. I wasn't sure how he would react. We never had a good relationship, so I was afraid that he would reject me, even though I knew that he probably wouldn't. He's a good person, and I didn't think that he would reject me, but it still was an extreme fear of mine. My friends, most of them were okay with it. Only one of my friends didn't like it, and we tried to be friends, but we stopped being friends last year because he's a jerk. Not because of my sexuality, but because he's a jerk.
My coming out story is kind of complicated. I came out to all my friends first. A lot of them just like automatically assumed, and a lot of them were also like, really? Like, that's a shock to us. But they were still fine with it. It started getting complicated when I got my like first real boyfriend. His parents basically told me that if I don't come out to my mom, they will basically out me. So rather than hear it from someone else, I thought, hey, I might as well tell her myself. So I wrote a note like the night before I was about to go on vacation with my dad's side of the family because my parents are separated. I gave her the note the night before. She read it and completely flipped out. She made me break up with my boyfriend the next day over the phone. What happened was when I came back from vacation, basically that's when we first like started really going to church, because my mom probably thought pray the gay away, like most people do. Not all people, but most. So what happened was I started having meetings with the pastor of the church. It was funny though, because like me and him would have like these weekly we'd like meet up for an hour each week, and we found out that like, you know, he basically said it was okay to be gay. So it took me another two times trying to come out to my mother before she finally kind of like got it through her head. And then when I came out to my father, basically, I told my mom the night before, because me and my mom had gotten into a fight the night before, that I'm going to tell my dad that I'm going to come out to my dad. And she's like, fine, but I'm going to call him first. So The following night, I went over to my dad's for, I believe it was Thanksgiving dinner, and he said, can we go for a walk? So we went on a walk. He basically told me what my mom said, that like, your son's gay, are you gonna do anything about it? And I love my dad's response, because he basically said that, no, I'm not gonna do anything about it. He's gonna like who he's gonna like, and there's no changing his mind. So my dad was very accepting over it, which I was very shocked about, because usually, you know, it's stereotypical that the mother is accepting and the father's kind of like on the fence about it. But my dad and his side of the family were completely okay with it. They understood, as opposed to my mom's side, who doesn't understand to this day, but is like trying to accept it. So that was basically my coming out story.
Okay. My coming out story is, I want to say, a work in progress currently, but I remember coming out to my mom back in, I want to say, junior year. I took her outside because it was during the springtime / summer, and I took her for a walk, and we kind of just walked and talked about it. I was shaking so bad because I know my mom, she wanted me to grow up, be a good wife, have a good husband. I didn't see that. I saw that as a possibility, but I also saw, hey, I'm bisexual. I like, you know, that. And so she was kind of confused at first about the whole thing and like what everything about that meant. And she's still pretty confused about it, but she's more accepting of it now. She understands that she can't change my mind on that topic. She can't do much about it. My dad, on the other hand, I don't think he wants to acknowledge that fact so much, but it's still a work in progress, and I still want to, you know, show them that, hey, this is not a bad thing. This is something that is a part of my life just as much as yours. If you are not willing to accept it as I have, that's perfectly fine. I'm not saying you have to, but it would be nice. And so I say it's a work in progress.
Jess.
I think the first time I came out to my mom was December 2012. Might have been December 2011, I'm not sure. It was, I told her, took her off to the side, told her that I'm trans, and that we'd need to talk about it, and she agreed. And then we didn't talk about it for another, like, 5 months. Not 5 months, 4 months. On the way back from... And then on the way back from my grandpa's house in Nebraska, she brings up that I really like show tunes, and because they're awesome, and a great way to pass time while driving. And so she's like, you know, Eric, you really like show tunes. You might be gay. And so I turned to her, I'm like, well, I'm definitely not straight. And then she's like, okay, we should stop talking about this now. And they got quiet for like the rest of the drive home. And then another month or two after that, I found out she claimed at the time to be open and affirming about LGBT because we're part of the UCC, United Church of Christ, that actually overall supports all of this. And she told me she agrees with all of the gay and bi, but didn't agree with trans. That God made people the way they are. And if God made them a man, they're a man. If God made them a woman, they're a woman. And that really hurt. But then the next summer after that, because I was pretty sure she'd be mostly okay with it, and then when she wasn't, I was like, all right, well, I don't want to tell my dad because I don't know what he's going to respond, because I didn't come out to my dad because I was afraid he'd be too all right with this and try and start setting up on dates. And I was like, no, I don't want that. But then when I found out her reaction, which was completely different from what I thought it would be, I was afraid to tell him. But then the next summer after that, we had a family reunion with our greater family. Part of that greater family is highly fundamentalist and doesn't agree with the gay, like, trans anything at all. And I said, you know what? I'm going to bring my femme clothes, and I'm going to be in femme for a good portion of that. So on the second night, I just dressed up in femme and was like, I'm here, deal with it. And most of my family were like, okay, why? And I'm like, why not? And they're like, okay, and they just avoided it. My dad was like, oh, okay, it's cool, and didn't care. And it was, at that point, my mom realized, yeah, no, it's not sinful, any of this. And she started rethinking everything. Then the next winter, we were visiting family, and for a good portion of that, I was in femme. And she was just like, okay, and she actually took me aside and talked with me, and she's now perfectly fine with it. That being said, I still actually am not out to my best friend because I'm still afraid of what he'll, like, the change in, I'm not afraid of he won't reject it because he's very much open and everything, but he is, but if I tell him, I'm afraid that our relationship will change. And that's a struggle I'm dealing with.
My coming out story is also a work in progress, but it has like two parts because I came out first as being bisexual, then came out as being asexual. I had all my friends were very accepting, and I really didn't need to like come out to them because like they all sort of like knew. But like I came out to my mother because she found a letter I had written to a girlfriend, and she kind of just figured out that, you know, this is not like the way you should be thinking about girls. And she asked me about it, and I told her I was bisexual, and she was accepting, but she wanted it almost to like go away. Like she's like that I could choose. And she's like, well, this is gonna make your life harder. She wanted the typical like, marry wife, have two children, the like cookie cutter life. And so she sort of just, she told my dad, and then it was sort of like brushed under the rug after that. I was accepting and open to my friends and everything, and we talked about it all the time, but I never talked to my family about it. Because like none of us were like comfortable, and I'm not out to all my family. Like my siblings and everything, I just don't want them making jokes about it and not me not being able to take the jokes. The harder part was actually coming out as asexual because not everyone always understands. I tried coming out to my mother and she said it might just be a biological issue, that if I go to the doctor, it'll just go away.
Amanda, would you mind explaining what asexual is?
Asexual is someone who can have romantic feelings in a relationship but will not feel the sexual part. You know, I've never felt sexual feelings to any gender. And, you know, people instantly assume that's something that everyone has to have. I try coming out to, like, my close friends. They all are very accepting. But like when I meet new people and try to explain it to them, they don't understand because everyone's sexual. And it like, well, you'll just grow out of it. You're gonna become sexual eventually. And I'm like, well, it might happen, yes. Might meet, you know, but it might not. I might always be asexual and I'm completely accepting of that. But not everyone always understands. But I've gotten a very positive feedback with my friends. My family, they don't understand, so I told my mother, but after that, I haven't been able to talk about it because she doesn't want to talk about it. And my coming out story is also in progress, as not everyone knows both sides. And not I haven't told some people either. They think I'm completely straight.
Hi, I'm Mora, and I'm the ally of the group, which means I'm a straight supporter. And so you might not think that I might have much of a coming out story, but in middle school someone had started a rumor about me that I was a lesbian. I kind of had to come, it was really difficult for me because I sort of had to come out as straight. I had to start doing straight things and doing things the straight way to prove that I was straight, even though I had this rumor. And I also did have to come out as a supporter of this whole LGBT community because some of my family doesn't really understand because they just see it as me being a proactivist, whereas I'm very much dedicated to the community. My close family is more supportive because they did see me having to go through the bullying, having to go through the negative treatment that I got, and having to sort of come prove myself as something that where most people are, it's just naturally assumed. I had to come out and be proven that I was straight to stop the bullying. So.
We are gonna show a video. This is a video that I made for my sociology of sex and gender class. It is of personal stories. It was an interview I took of LGBT people I know.
When did you first realize you were gay, and what was your first reaction?
First realized I was gay towards the end of my junior year. I didn't think of it as like a big deal. Like I wasn't really like afraid of being gay. Like I was kind of just there. I once my friends found out about it and I like told them, they're like, they were all supportive, they're all like, that's fine with us. Like, cause nowadays that's how teens are. Most of the people you talk to are gonna be like, that's cool, whatever. Of course you always have like the stereotypical like guy go like, well, that's cool, just don't hit on me.
When did I realize I was gay? Sam, when did I realize I was gay? Was it the first time we had sex or the second time?
I might have to go with the second time.
It's probably the second time, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the first time you were a little freaked out.
That's true. I was like, what is this? What's going on?
Yeah.
Everything in my life is changing.
I didn't know it was that momentous of an event for you, honey.
Well, you know, I kind of internalized all of it.
I remember when I was a kid, I was like pretty homophobic because I didn't like realize that it was even really an option to like the same sex, you know? And so then when I was in high school and it started coming around that, you know, no, it's pretty normal to like the same sex. A lot of people do. I don't know, I started realizing like I started realizing that it makes sense, you know, people can fall in love with a personality, you know, and it doesn't matter the gender. It was sometime in high school that I started to realize, like, you know, love is about character. It's not about gender. Yeah.
I don't know, I was kind of scared, I guess. I think I was afraid. Because growing up in the 80s, to me, what it meant to be gay at that time period meant that you were going to die of AIDS or molest kids or that sort of stuff. And I knew that I didn't want that. So I was really afraid, I guess. That's probably the biggest thing I felt was fear.
What was your biggest fear coming out?
These all don't apply because people know, so I didn't really have anything to fear. you know?
Probably that I would be alone. That nobody would understand. That I would be alone. That nobody would understand who I was. That I wouldn't have friends. That, you know, I would just have to go through life by myself.
How did you think your family and friends would react?
My friends, like, I was unsure of how they would react, but I really didn't quite care. My mother, on the other hand, like, I knew she wasn't going to be accepting because we would always watch Glee on TV. And whenever someone even remotely brought up something like homosexual or gay, she would, like, do this face of, like, well, like, disgust or whatever.
I think I was very lucky in that sense, where most people I knew already knew, so it wasn't really like a surprise. Like, I've gotten everything from, oh, okay, to, I kind of figured, you know, it's nothing really like extreme or harsh or anything surprising.
Oh, okay.
I was afraid that my parents were going to be angry with me. I was nervous that my mom was going to give me a whole lecture about Catholic teachings, you know, and that my dad was going to act gruff and stern and all that, and I can't stand disappointing people. My friends, on the other hand, are all very liberal-minded types of people, so that I knew wouldn't be an issue.
I figured that they would reject me. That's part of the fear too, that they wouldn't want to be my friends anymore, that my family would, abandon me. And for some of my family that happened, and for some of my friends that happened.
If you have to name three emotions that you felt during your time in the closet, what would it be?
Three emotions? I was confused. Confused, frustrated, and... I've never had to think about these things. Bewildered.
Yeah, with my first girlfriend, my parents are super Catholic, and so I did feel, I felt nervous that they were going to find out in a bad way instead of me actually talking to them about it. I felt silly because by the time I had a girlfriend, I was already, you know, over 18. It felt silly to be running around like a sneaky little teenager, especially about something that I know shouldn't be an issue.
I want to tell you that you guys can raise your hands and we'll answer questions throughout the show if you have any questions. Struggles of LGBT people. Isolation is one of the biggest problems for LGBT people, especially younger ones, because when you first realize you're gay, bi, asexual, etc., you have trouble because you feel like you're alone. There is often very few places you can go to seek help, and it can be an extremely lonely time. I think that's one of the greatest causes of suicides for LGBT youth.
I totally fully agree with everything he said. It's just like, it's a hard theme because even if you do have the strength to come out, not everyone's going to be so accepting as you are. It's going to be a very hard road to go on to explain to friends, family, people you see on the streets even. It's not easy at all in the slightest.
With that though, like, it is still a very hard place to be in if you're part of the LGBT community with coming out and everything. But I'm kind of thankful that we are in an age where we're progressing. It's still like a big deal, but it's not so serious that it's gonna cause like riots and such. Like back in the day, you came out gay, you were kind of just like shunned by everybody. Whereas now it's like it's in literature, it's in television, it's in movies, it's like it's everywhere. You can't really you can be against it. I shouldn't say you can't be against it, but like it's a lot more accepting than it used to be.
And also in the LGBT community, some of us are actually still isolated, rejected, often the transgender community. You would think that our community would be more inclusive, accept everyone, but they don't. Bisexuals and transgenders are often looked down on, thought of as not part of the community, even if their letters are in there. I think that when people don't understand, that's the when they reject you. And even if you're gay or lesbian, we don't always know what transgender and bisexuals are going through.
In regards to a lot of my peers, when I dress in femme, a lot of them are like, oh, you're just dressing like a girl just cuz. It's like, no, it's not just cuz. So that, like, a lot of my friends, they're not intentionally like rejecting, but they are still isolating.
Mm-hmm. Discrimination is, as you know, one of the biggest things that still happens today. Just look at Indiana. I believe that
it was Indiana, wasn't it?
It was Indiana. You're right. I don't know if you've heard about Indiana, but they've passed a law where you don't have to serve in a restaurant, or you can kick a LGBT people out of the store because it's against your religion. Discrimination happens in everyday life. I think that when you're young, it's extremely hard, because as you get older, you find people that accept you, and you find, and since we're such a more liberal age, things are easier. But 13-year-olds, 14-year-olds, they just don't understand, and they will reject you because they don't think who you are is right.
And with discrimination, though, discrimination also happens within its own community, like we stated previous, especially with bisexuals and transgender. Like, I know a lot of my friends are bisexual, Amanda being one of them.
Yeah.
But a lot of stories I've heard from my friends that are bisexual is that people view them as, like, sluts because they think that they're just like, oh, well, I just want to be with anybody because I can. When it's, no, that's not how it is.
Or that you're just pretending that you're like girls if you're a guy, or like guys if you're a girl, and you haven't truly accepted yourself.
Another thing is that I don't know if I could speak for everyone who's bisexual, but at least for me, it's kind of hard to hear, you know, one person who is straight or is portraying themselves as straight, saying, oh, I'm gonna go experiment. I'm going to date a guy and they're a guy, or I'm going to date a girl and they're a girl. Bisexuality is not experimenting. It is something you know for sure. Hey, I like both guys and girls. There's no in between. It's not like I'm experimenting. I'm not just messing around with someone for the heck of it. It's something very serious, and it is hard to get out of that discrimination label about it, because if you do come out as that, that's, according to society, one of the very first things you think about, oh, they're just a slut.
I know there's also very strong discrimination in the workplace for people of the LGBT community. There will be times where employers will not officially, they won't hire a person who is LGBT because it doesn't apply to them and their views. There is also discrimination in the kind of environment a person works in, because not everyone in your workplace is going to be supporting of you and your views, and you might even get some hate from the people who you are equal to, even people who are maybe subordinate to you will even be very hateful because they see you as something that is wrong. And while that's not correct, it still goes on today. There are times where people will be judged not by what's on the sheet, but instead of what the person sees in front of them.
When I talk about facilities, I mean along the lines of LGBT people need special facilities and safe places. A special facility that we need is gender-neutral bathrooms, which I'll be talking about later, because people who don't identify as their birth sex don't always feel comfortable in their bathroom, and if they go in the other gender bathroom, they feel unsafe. Other facilities are locker rooms that are, as I went along with lines of bathrooms, there should be gender-neutral locker rooms too. At ISU, our club went to a conference for the LGBT community, and there they have safe places. They have a part of the library that's just for LGBT people, where they can sit, read, and be safe. Anyone else have anything to add?
Well, as much as we don't like to admit it, because it's a sad truth, there are a lot of people who are jerks just to be mean, just because they're bored. They like walk up to someone and be like, hey, I'm gonna pick on you just because I'm bored. It happens.
We're not saying that like all these facilities aren't at Marine Valley already. Like, safe places, you can go to a counselor if you're being bullied, and they will talk to you about it. And that you can unload your feelings, and they'll try to help you out the best that they can. We're not saying that like none of these facilities exist, but we are trying to like move towards some of them.
I know the facilities is very important because, especially in the transgender community, a lot of them get urinary tract infections because they don't have the appropriate facilities where they can go to relieve themselves. And so they will often either hold it for entire work days. So that way they can just wait until they get to somewhere safer where they can feel safe. Or they won't drink anything all day and will be suffering from dehydration. And there's also the problem with, I know Planet Fitness just had a big problem with it because as you may know, Planet Fitness promotes more of a safer environment for people who want to go work out but not be part of a gym. They had a transgender woman who went to the locker room, and a cisgender woman saw her and started spreading rumors about her, because saying that there was a man in the ladies' changing room and that the staff was not doing anything about it, and that you shouldn't go and change in the changing room when there is the man-woman. And Planet Fitness even had to tell the cisgender woman to either stop or you will be removed from all of our records, because we want to have a safe environment for all of our members.
Would you like to explain what a cisgender woman is?
A cisgender person is someone who lines to the sexuality they were born with. So I was born with female reproductive organs. I identify as female. Whereas someone, as we know, who's transgender will have a certain type of reproductive organs, but identify as the opposite gender.
Role models, there are a lot more gay role models in the community, but there are not as many transgender or asexual as we know. I'm sure Amanda will talk about Walking Dead. She likes that. The problem I have about LGBT role models is when you look at them, they're like RuPaul, Drag Race, and they're all these stereotypes. And you look at them, the straight people look at them and like, okay, that's what gay people are like, but we're not like that. We don't all dress in drag, and we're not all fabulous. I am, but I am. So we have a difficult time showing who we are if the media won't show the people who we are.
I absolutely despise the show Modern Family, because that is just stereotypes and nothing but stereotypes. All the gay characters are the limp-wristed, not good at sports stereotype of basically just male valley girls. And all the ethnic stereotypes are the massively huge stereotypes. Yes, stereotypes do exist, but they are the minority of people in scenarios. But the way TV is trying to portray all these stereotypes now is that they are the majority or the only like type of groups of people.
Actually, I want to go on off that statement because I was watching a Modern Family episode recently that are like the newer, like some of like the newer ones. And if you lay look at like their gay relationship on there, the one is like this. The one is like, more leaning more towards the stereotype. But you actually, if you keep watching, like he's actually the football coach at the high school, which is phenomenal because it's saying basically like even if they do act like the stereotype, that doesn't mean that they're like completely feminine. They can like sports. It's not unheard of.
True, but this is also ABC, where right. A decade ago they had probably the best gay character in one of their shows in Spin City. The black guy's gay. If you just watch one or two episodes and someone asks you, hey, who's the gay guy, you'd probably like, there's a gay guy, or you'd assume it's the effeminate white guy who is actually straight. If you watch the whole series, you'd be like, oh, it's the black guy, because he's the perfect, like, description of a normal gay person.
Mm-hmm.
Amanda, would you like to talk about Walking Dead now?
The writers just announced that the character Daryl on The Walking Dead was going to be is asexual, and it is the first like role model you could think of for the asexual community. It was actually because there is really all like people you see on like the in movies and TV, they're all very sexual, and that's usually what the norm in life is, that every person, every role model is going to be sexual. Another, like, call it asexual character would be, what was it? Big Bang Theory? Sheldon from Big Bang Theory. And I actually, like, was talking to a few people who are asexual, and they're very, like, offended by that character because it, once again, is the stereotypes of being asexual. And like, so the two asexual role models out there is one where no one knows that they're asexual, and the other one like is a stereotype of the like most, I would say extreme, because he doesn't want anyone to touch him at all.
Actually, he's not asexual. In one episode, he explains to Penny that he has such a difficult time touching people, and that even talking to people as he does now is an extreme difficulty for him, and that is why he doesn't feel sexual towards people.
Well, that would be, like, the asexuality...
He says it's possible in the future.
Well, that actually is... Asexuality is a, like a various spectrum that some people who are asexual and define as asexual will
partake in sexual activities, but sometimes it's so little that they're like, well, you know, maybe once or twice, but it's not just it's not saying that I will never have sex, it's just I don't have a desire for it, either ever or at the current moment. So, like, he might not be completely on he'd be on a spectrum of asexuality, because there is no, like, definite, yes, like, it's not completely a complete definition you can think of for
asexuality. I'm sorry, I didn't realize.
No, it's like, it's harder to understand, because it's hard to explain the spectrum of asexuality.
To go off of the Walking Dead reference she gave us, for those who are fans, this was brought to our attention through the Talking Dead, the after show where they discuss the episode. And in the first part of this current season, I think it's season 5, the writers did, since many of you who are Walking Dead fans know that Daryl was not present in the comic books, he's only present in the TV show and in one of the video games. He was a more of an original character that they could work with. They originally were going to write him as homosexual, but they felt like that was too extreme for the character. And so, after a little bit more of character development, they did say that he was more asexual, because you never see him, whereas maybe his brother Merle would start sexually stigmatizing the women on the show. He wouldn't partake in that. He's never had a televised romantic relationship with anybody. There's been no references to him having any relationships, and besides the very close bonds he shares with the other members of the group. And you also see him not as judgmental, especially now that he's had more time with the group than when he was originally with Merle as his brother. You do kind of see that, like, currently there is a homosexual couple on the show, and he is not as judgmental as maybe some of the other people in the place they're staying. He is not afraid of them. He is not, oh my gosh, the gays. He's more, you're this? Okay. Are you going to help me fight the zombies? Okay.
So I see that we've included representation in mass media. So we will move on to what Moraine Valley does to help LGBT students. GASP, that's us. We are, as our advisor said earlier, gender and sexuality progress. We are similar to a gay-straight alliance. We meet every Thursday in the U building. In what room are we?
U211.
211. We discuss issues.
We're not 211.
We're not 211. What room?
209.
209. That's the room.
Thursdays, 209 at 2:30. So if any of you wish to come, we'd be happy to accept you. We talk about the issues that we have in news, or we talk about LGBT stuff that we didn't know about. We watch videos and so on. But that's not all that we do. We also try to improve Moraine Valley. We have 2 petitions, which you will have the opportunity of signing, if you wish, after the show. One of them is to have gender expression be included in our safety things. I'm sorry, I don't know that word. But the other one is for gender-neutral bathrooms. Right now, we have 2 gender-neutral bathrooms at the school. They are upstairs in the U building.
No, we don't. Go. We had gender-neutral bathrooms for 1 week.
You can, yes.
Yeah, for 1 week, we had gender-neutral bathrooms. Then someone complained, I don't know who it was, or even if it actually was a real person, or if someone's just like, reconsider this. They put signs on the doors after the 1 week saying that these bathrooms are single use only, and then put locks on the doors. It's like, but in other areas of the nation where there are gender neutral bathrooms, there's both stall and urinal, and admittedly, I could see single use being in the what used to be the men's room because it's got a urinal and a stall. And but in other parts of the nation, there are gender neutral bathrooms that do have that. But the one that used to be the women's washroom, having that be single occupancy, it makes no sense at all because there's two stalls, which means that that's just wasting space.
And at ISU, I actually used one of their gender-neutral bathrooms during the conference. There are no locked doors, and there are stalls and urinals, like you stated. And there are girls and guys washing hands in the stalls, and they didn't seem upset at all. So I think Moraine Valley should see that, and we will bring that to their attention to get more gender-neutral bathrooms.
Well, because also there's, at least in the A and B building, there should be two on each floor because they have eight washrooms in both those buildings.
We will continue talking about this and what else Moraine Valley should be doing for LGBT students, because that's a section.
To backtrack towards what GASP is, as a member, I think I can speak for most of us here. It's a very safe place to go if you're questioning your sexuality or if you just want to know more about LGBT community overall. Our president, Maya Saar, she is actually an ally, and she does a very great job of finding resources, video, articles about for helping LGBT members or just finding information about what's going on with the LGBT community today.
And we will listen to you. We are your ears if you want to talk about something that you're concerned about or that you're in the closet. We will listen and we will understand, like counselors, if you're not feeling safe with counselors. But you should. We actually have trained counselors, as states up there, that will help with LGBT students that have been trained to understand and help. Library events that we are doing, like right now for the LGBT community, we are doing it because of the book, Giovanni's Room, but I hope that in the future that, oh wait, that next slide. I hope that in the future we will do more LGBT conference events.
To go back to one of the previous ones for safe zone training, safe zone training is where people, not just counselors, but teachers themselves, will go through a special training program to help LGBT students have someone to come to. That's when if you're ever walking down the hall and you see one of those upside down triangles with the rainbow in it, that shows that the teacher or the person in that office has been safe zone trained. So if you are having a difficulty maybe meeting as part of our group, those are people to approach and to talk to because they are specifically trained to help you in the situations. They do believe in more privacy. So if you just want someone to talk to one-on-one and you don't want to go to one of the trained counselors, you can go to a teacher. And it's especially helpful if you know that teacher. If you've had a previous class or you have a class with them and you see that they have the upside down rainbow triangle, it's probably a lot easier for you to approach the teacher and talk about what you're going through.
Next, we're going to talk about what else Moraine Valley can do to help LGBT students. As spoken earlier, we talked about the gender-neutral restrooms, that we should change the name of the single-occupancy ones, and we should add more. We want to add at least one in every single one of the buildings. We'd prefer two.
Jess, you know a lot more about that.
Yeah, well, the reason I'm so against the single-occupancy bathrooms as they are now is, for that 1 week that they were gender neutral, I had a place that I could go dress as femme to use the restroom. At the moment it became single occupancy, it's went back and it's like, oh, well, now it's people are afraid of trans people apparently because single occupancy. So if I go in there and I don't lock the door, people come in and it's like, oh my God, you didn't lock the door? What's wrong with you? And it's like, so right now, dressed in femme, I have no place that I can comfortably use the washroom because by school rules, I can't use the female washroom.
And you might not consider changing it to single occupancy being something that should be offended about, but as just said, it's really a blow to the trans community, and they feel like they were not only undermined, but also not cared for, and that Moraine Valley isn't a safe place for them. You spoke about how many bathrooms.
Oh, that's right, yeah. The A building and B building have two men's rooms and two women's rooms on both floors, like on each floor. So converting one of each on each floor would be super easy to do. And it's, I have absolutely no idea why that hasn't happened yet, because we've been bringing it up to the school for years, and it still hasn't happened.
What the school says, and many of the people that refused to sign the petition, is that they're afraid that teens are going to have sex in them. And I would like to say that not only has other schools proved that's false, but saying that would be saying that gay or lesbians are already having sex in our bathrooms. And if they're not, then what's to say that straight people aren't going to?
And also, it's Moraine. People have been caught having sex in very weird places in the school.
Too weird.
For a long time. And very rarely is it actually a bathroom.
Then, as I spoke earlier about the gender-neutral locker room, that's important for trans students too, or really any students at all. There are forms that we want to have that ask, that has more than just male and female on them. If any of the sheets that you sign for Moraine Valley and you sign out, you will notice that they will all have the option of male or female. Not all students, not all people identify as male or female. It is several other genders that people identify as.
And like one thing to add on to that is, outside of Moraine at least, I'm pretty sure everyone in this room has applied to a job online. If you notice, more and more recently, when they ask you, what's your gender, 9 times out of 10 now, instead of just having male and female options, you have neither, or I'd rather not say, or another option, where it does help people, like, at least if they want to be discreet, they can be discreet as much as they want to, and it's pretty good. So if Moraine Valley starts doing that, I feel like it could help a lot of our trans students and any other students for that matter.
And with the gender neutral bathrooms being turned into single occupancy, and for some of the reasons that we've stated, turning them into single occupancy and just giving us a lock, that just means that more people are going to use it for having sex in, because you just gave them a place where they can go behind a closed door and lock it. And unless you're, I think, either a faculty that works in that building, or if you're one of the policemen, you don't have a key to get in. They're the only ones that can go up there and do it, which they rarely don't, unless they like catch two people going into the bathroom on the camera, which is rare to say that they're looking at all the cameras at every given moment.
Another problem with the forms for the male and female options. This is also a big problem with scholarships, because a lot of the scholarships have to go through the state government, and it's usually also, as many of you might know, if you filled up the FAFSA, that will also be checked by the IRS. Well, one of the biggest problems for people of transgender, even though you might go through all the legal systems of changing your gender, so legally you are of the opposite gender, the government, the national government, still hasn't caught up on that. And if you use your social security number, you can't change your social security profile. So it will say your birth gender. And this has become a big problem because if you fill out your form as female, but your social security profile is male, that can sometimes nullify all the work you've just done. Because it'll look like you're trying to forgify the documents. Which means people of transgender, or even people who don't assign themselves to a certain gender, will automatically be restricted in what kind of services they can have. Because even though, because it means that transgender people can't get scholarships or get payment for schooling, which means some might not even be able to go to school. And it also affects the healthcare. So that's one of the more broader issues for the male female.
When we talk about forms that ask about sexual orientation, we're not asking to add that to the forms that we were talking about earlier. At Moraine, when we were pushing for the gender-neutral bathrooms, some people asked, would it really help people? Are there really enough trans students to really go through the trouble? And since they don't want to send any forms that ask you about this, we have no idea how many gay, lesbian, bi, transgender, etc., are at the school.
And also the biggest thing is that the gender-neutral bathrooms wouldn't just be trans bathrooms. They'd be gender-neutral. So it wouldn't be, oh, well, it's just using up space because it's just a transgender bathroom. It's like, no, it's still it would be a both-gender bathroom. So it wouldn't remove any bathrooms.
Yes, and this would help in many different things because we know what to help about. And do you have anything to say? Okay.
Yes, question?
Yes?
Question is, what kind of petitions and how many petitions have you guys sent out to try and get more gender inclusion bathrooms?
We currently have one petition that we are doing. And we did not do a petition before, I don't believe, but we spoke to the school.
And we've been doing this petition for years, at least two. Yes. Like the gender-neutral bathroom we've been trying to get that one through for at least 2 years now.
Well, I don't think we've turned it in, have we?
I don't know. Why have we not?
I know with the recent renovations to the G building, since that's being renovated to be more of a gym facility, there has been talk about wanting to maybe start a petition to get gender-neutral locker rooms put in. So that way people can have a comfortable place to change for any gym activities they might have. I think it was also an issue that was brought up but not acknowledged when they were in the making of the H building. That way you'd have gender-neutral bathrooms and locker rooms, so people who do assign themselves as a different gender than their birth can have a comfortable place to go and change because they still like to work out. They still want to stay in shape. And that shouldn't be limited to them because they don't feel they can't feel comfortable changing a certain place. Because again, the school rules say that because of their assigned birth, they have to go to their assigned birth locker room.
Next, we would like to offer more LGBT-friendly events. We understand that this is going on, but it's because it's an LGBT book that the library is currently offering as the book that we're all reading. But that is a great thing, and we are very thankful for that. But after this book is done next year, the only people that will be wanting LGBT events will be the GASP Club. And we can only do one or two that we can plan a year, because they're a lot of work to plan. So I'm hoping that the school will offer more LGBT-friendly events. Okay, and currently, we don't publicize the LGBT services well. As we've talked to you, I don't know how many of you have known about the safe zones or especially the gender neutral bathrooms or any of the things that we've been talking about that Moraine Valley has. And since you haven't heard it, many of the LGBT students haven't heard it either because they don't know where to look. So I believe that we should call attention to it more, try to tell as many people as we can, because if there is a student that doesn't feel comfortable with these certain things, then they have a place to go and they have a place to find help.
I know that there was also an issue in the first semester where we did put up flyers for the GASP Club to invite people to come and to talk with us and to show that we had a comfortable place, and we had a very reoccurring problem where they were being removed. It hasn't been that big of an issue this semester, thankfully, but just the fact that they were bright green flyers too, and the fact that they were removed from where they were.
Almost every bulletin board.
Twice, right?
Yeah, yeah. Twice.
It just kind of shows that because of what the group stands for, we do have a bigger problem publicizing and having people be a little bit more comfortable.
And since that means that Moraine Valley isn't as safe a place as we want to think, there are people that are willing to take down flyers. We need these safe places like GASP, especially now, so that people have somewhere to go. Using more inclusive language in the classroom, we talk about, in very few classes, we mention LGBT things. We use very few gay, lesbian examples. In the social classes, in the psych classes, we hear them more because that's part of the curriculum. But when it's not part of the curriculum, it isn't shown to the students.
I know for a fact that if it weren't for the James Baldwin one book, one school, it probably wouldn't have been brought up in a lot of the comm classes. No one would, because it would have been relevant to the curriculum, even though it's still a very major issue. And I'm quite happy that with the inclusion of the book, the comm classes had other books to tie in, so it wasn't just gender and sexuality inequality, it was inequality of minorities. So it put it in a broader perspective that even though it is more of a recent issue, it's still a very relevant and problematic issue.
And our final closing comments are about pronouns. I know it's not up there, but pronouns are also something that's extremely important. Does anyone want to talk about them, or should I?
I can't stress enough how much importance goes into pronouns, whether it's for someone who is straight or trans or anything in between. It's so important because it's basically saying, if you recognize yourself as a girl, I'm going to call you a guy instead. Most people would be offended, and it's the same way around. So when you say to a trans person, oh, you look like a guy, but you identify as a female, I'm still going to call you a guy. You're a he or a him. You're not they. You're not her. You're not anything but that. It is so incredibly offensive, and it's one of the things that society is so ignorant on in today's standards, it's ridiculous. And for someone who does finally realize that, it's a bit of a hard transition because we are so mind fixated on the idea that if you see someone who looks a certain way, you're gonna call them that. You don't think twice. You don't, you know, think, oh, well, maybe they might identify themselves as something completely different than what I see them as.
I'm assuming you all know this, but pronouns were referring to the he, him, she, her, or they, them. They, them is what people with no gender, what they identify as no gender, prefer to use. It's sometimes awkward to say that because they and them normally refer to multiple people. So if they went to the movie, it's one person went to the movie, and it can be hard in conversations. But so that is often when most people don't use the proper pronouns. And it can be very hurtful to the person because you're not acknowledging their gender. So not just transgender people, but also.
It's something that should really be taught in classrooms from, I want to say, at least middle school and up. I can understand elementary English teachers not teaching this because kids are so young at that age. But from middle school and up, this should be something that we bring up, definitely, because at that point, you know yourself. You realize what's a boy and what's a girl and what's in between. At that point, they should teach you, hey, I don't know, this person looks a certain way. Doesn't mean that they are that.
I know this is also a major problem because as of lately, people have been using she, he, or he, she as more of a way to describe a person. Because even though a person of transgender, you might try not to be offensive and say, oh, it's a, that person's a she, he, or a he, she. No, you have to assign them to their preferred gender pronoun, because to them, it could also be quite offensive. No one, no, we never go up to a girl who's wearing a pair of pants and say, so you're a he, she, right? Or she, he. And it's like, no, I'm a girl. Or you'd go up to a guy who's wearing nicer clothes and be like, you're a he, she, or a she, he. No. So again, there are certain boundaries that you have to make sure you partake. Plus, it's always a very good way to introduce someone. Like, if you're just getting to know someone, it'd be like, oh, what's your name? What's your favorite color? What's your preferred pronoun? And that way, from the very beginning, you can assign them to the correct pronouns. You can give them that comfortability of knowing that I'm not going to be discriminated against because of my orientation.
I'd like to give an example that you might understand better, especially the guys in here. If I walked up to one of you guys and referred to you as a her, if I say, what are you doing, girl, or what's she doing? She's over there. Would you feel offended if someone is referring to you as a girl? I would assume so. It would offend your masculinity. And the same thing is happening to trans people or people that don't have a gender. If you say those kind of things to them, it's extremely hurtful. And sometimes they can't even tell it because they feel uncomfortable saying, no, I'm a she. So because it's awkward, sometimes you're hurting people without realizing it. And I think that's our presentation. It's currently 1:43, and we are gonna put these petitions up here in the front of the stage so that if you wish to sign them, which I would really hope you will, just come up here and sign them. Thank you for coming.
Does anyone have any questions they'd like to ask before
questions,
we
Questions, comments,
close?
Concerns?
No?
Yes,
no.
Shiny.
Okay. Thank you for coming.